It was very fitting today that we would do the Veterans Day tribute today, just because of where we're at in the story. See, we've come to the part of the story where the Israelites are going to fight their first battle. And the title of your chapter 7 that you'll be reading this week, is called The Battle Begins. And so that's where we find ourselves. If you would, grab your Bibles and turn to Joshua chapter 1. In verse 1, if you're grabbing a Bible from in front of you, should be page 331. You'll be right where you need to be. Now, in this portion of the story, what we're going to see is Joshua has taken over the leadership of Israel. He's taken it over from Moses. Moses is now departed. He's dead. And what we're going to see is we're going to see a shift in the Israelites. They're going to shift from being a people who complain to being a people who begin to have some courage. We'll see that in this story. Now, look with me at verse 1. It says, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' aide, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I'm about to give to them, to the Israelites. I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. Your territory will extend from the desert to Lebanon, and from the great river, the Euphrates, all the Hittite country to the Mediterranean Sea in the west. No one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their ancestors to give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night, and that so that you may be careful to do everything that is written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. Why? For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Now, that is an incredible promise that God gives to Joshua to pass on to the people, that he will be with us. But he also said what? He said, I will give you every place that your foot touches. No one, all the days of your life, no one will ever be able to stand against you. I will never leave you. I will always be with you. You just need to be strong and courageous. You know, three times in these 9 verses, God tells Joshua, be strong and courageous. Why does God keep repeating himself? Well, we know this. When God repeats himself, it's important. Anytime we see repetition in the Bible, that means this is something that's important. And this is very important. It's important because God is asking them to do something that's pretty scary for them. We didn't cover it last week, but the biggest reason the Israelites had to wander in the desert for 40 years was because there was a point where they were not strong and they were not courageous. Remember when they left Mount Sinai, Deuteronomy 1:2 said what? It takes about 11 days, right, to go to Horeb, to Kadesh Barnea, by the Mount Seir Road. And so what we see is they went to the border of the promised land. And when they got there, well, they got scared. See, God had Moses send in 12 spies to look upon the land. And they came back and they gave a report. And they said, the land is just like God said it was. But 10 of them, well, they gave a negative report. They were afraid. And they said, listen, it's impossible for us to take this land. They're giants, and they have these heavily fortified cities, and we look like grasshoppers compared to them. There's no way we can do it. They're going to kill us all. They had this really negative report, and it swept over all the Israelites, and they began to be very afraid. And they started to do what they always have done, complain and long to go back to Egypt. Meanwhile, there was 2 voices of reason in this. There was Joshua and Caleb. And they had a differing view on the subject. Look what they said in Numbers. It'll be on the screen for you. Numbers chapter 14. It says, they said, "The land we passed through and explored is exceedingly good. If the Lord is pleased with us, he will lead us into that land, a land flowing with milk and honey, and will give it to us. Only do not rebel against the Lord. And do not be afraid of the people of the land, because we will devour them. Their protection is gone, but the Lord is with us. Do not be afraid of them." And Joshua and Caleb have this great faith in God. They have this confidence in God. And so they're saying, listen, now I know it might look scary, but we can do this. Don't be afraid. Let's do what God has called us to do. But the fear of the people had already set in. And so they didn't take the land the way they were supposed to. And their punishment for their disobedience was that they would wander in the desert for 40 years. And that everyone over the age of 20, except for Caleb and Joshua, would die in the desert. And so this time of wandering now has come to an end. And they're back at the border of this land. And God tells Joshua over and over again, be strong. Be strong. Be courageous. You know, Joshua needed to hear that. He needed to be reminded of that. The Israelites, they definitely needed to hear that. And you know what? We need to hear that today. Be strong and courageous. Because fear is always there. And it's always wanting to hold us back from what we're called to do. You know, for some of you, you overcome that fear. And you did some pretty courageous things in your life. For some of you, God called you to defend our country. And it took great courage for you to answer that call. To put your life on the line and for the cause of freedom. And we do, again, thank you for your service in doing that. But it's not just in the dramatic that we need courage. We need courage on almost a daily basis. I know for some of you today, it took courage for you just to be here today. You know, maybe for some of you, you haven't been in church for a long time because you've been hurt. You've been disillusioned by the church. You've been wronged in some way. But you came because someone in your family or maybe a friend asked you to come and give it another try. And it took courage for you to go into the parking lot and to get out of your car and to walk through that door again, maybe a door that you said you would never walk through again. And for some of you, it took courage to come today because you came without a spouse. And you knew that you were going to walk through the door and you were going to see other people who were with their spouses. And it was going to create this uneasy feeling in you. It took courage for you to come today. For some of you today, it took courage to come and worship because maybe you've just really had a bad week. Or maybe you've just really messed something up in your life. And the last thing you wanted to do was come into this place where you knew that you would see these smiling faces that wanted to greet you, faces that look like they have life all together and figured out when your life is unraveling. And it took courage for you to be here today. See, we need courage. We need it on a daily basis. Sometimes we need courage just to function, just to take another step. And we definitely need courage to do what God has asked us to do. Now, some of you need courage to come and make Jesus Christ Lord and Savior of your life. You've been putting that off forever. It's because you've lacked courage to do that. Some of us, we need courage to share our faith with our friends and with our family. And we need great courage to do that. And we've not done it because we've lacked the courage. Some of us need courage to fight for our marriage. Some of us need courage to confess and deal with a sin that's in our life. See, courage is something that we desperately need. We desperately need to have courage. And for some of us, we've been running scared. For way too long, we've been running scared. And what we need to realize is that part of God's story is to show us why we should have courage and how we can demonstrate courage. For the Israelites, they needed courage because what they were about to do was going to be really scary. See, they were going to go and cross the Jordan, and they were going to go into Jericho. And Jericho was a scary place. They had these huge walls, and the walls were the strength of their city. They had a lower wall that was some six foot wide. And then they had an inner wall that was somewhere between 12 and 15 foot wide, where there would be homes inside the wall. These walls were separated by this embankment that was on an incline. And so if you stood beside the lower wall and you looked up, the height would have been like a four-story building. It was massive. It was very intimidating. It was very scary. And they needed to be reminded by God to be strong and courageous. And he gave them that promise, because I am with you. I am with you. And that we come to our first point today, is that when God is saying be strong and courageous, God was preparing them for what would be required later. See, they would need to be very strong and very courageous. And God does that same kind of thing today. If you step back and you look at your story, you will see that there are times, and there were times, that God was preparing you for something that was just around the corner. Some huge wall in your life that you were going to face. And when you faced that, you just weren't sure how you were going to deal with it. But God had prepared you in advance. I remember when Michelle and I were trying to start a family. And she had surgery after surgery after surgery. And we faced disappointment after disappointment after disappointment. I remember after one of her last surgeries, and they took some more of her woman parts out. I know more about how a woman's made up now than I ever wished to know. But they took some things out, and the doctor came and told me, listen, now there's no way that you could have a child naturally. There's in vitro, but we can talk about that later. At that time, in vitro was not a very good option. And so I knew that Michelle was going to be devastated. I just knew it. And my heart was breaking for her, because I didn't know how I was going to tell her. And so she's laying in that hospital bed. She'd had surgery after surgery. And I don't know how I'm going to tell her. My heart's breaking. I just know that she's going to be devastated. And she came out of the anesthesia, and the first thing she says is, we're going to adopt. We're going to adopt. And I was blown away, because I was expecting her to be like this upset mess. And she's like, we're going to adopt. And she was happy about it, and I was happy about it too. And what I saw there is that God had prepared her for what was to come. Before she came out of the anesthesia, before I could talk to her, God had already spoke to her. And he had prepared her heart for what was to come. And he does that kind of thing in our lives all the time. And maybe right now, God is preparing you. He's preparing you for something that's around the corner. Some huge wall that you're going to come up against in your life. And there's going to be some courage that's going to be required. You know, maybe it's a money situation, or a marriage situation, a family situation, maybe some work issues. Maybe there's a relationship, or maybe some sin. And we're going to look at those problems, and we're going to think, there's nothing we can do about this. It's just too big. It's just too overwhelming. We just can't handle it. The wall is too much. And God says to us what he says to those Israelites: be strong and courageous, because I am with you. I'm with you. For the Israelites, God had prepared them for what was to come. He had encouraged them, and so they were ready to go. Flip over to Joshua chapter 6, and we'll look at verse 1 and 2. Joshua chapter 6, verse 1 and 2. It starts off like this. It says, now, the gates of Jericho were securely barred because of the Israelites. Now, listen, Israelites aren't the only ones who are afraid here. The people inside, the people of Jericho, are terrified of the Israelites. You know why? Because they've had 40 years to hear about them. They have heard all about Egypt. They've heard about the plagues. They've heard about the parting of the Red Sea. And now the Israelites are camped out right outside the city, some 3 million people. They are terrified of the Israelites. And so they've barred up the place. No one went out and no one came in. Then the Lord said to Joshua, "See, I have delivered Jericho into your hands along with its king and its fighting men." And God is talking about this like it's already a done deal, but the Israelites are still outside looking in. They haven't taken the city yet. And it might look like God is speaking in the wrong tense here. He speaks as if it has already happened, but it hasn't. And this helps us understand something about courageous faith. See, courageous faith is speaking of what hasn't happened as if it already has happened. And I want to put an attachment to that, if it's what God has promised. You see, sometimes we speak as if something's going to happen, and we have all this faith that it's going to happen, but it's just something that we want. It might not necessarily be something that God has promised. And what we have to understand is God is faithful to his promises, not our wants. It doesn't matter how much you want it, God is faithful to the promises that he makes. Now, for the Israelites, God had promised them some 14 times that he would give them this land. He has repeated this over and over again. He has said, "Be strong, courageous. I am with you." And their faith in God, I think, is at an all-time high here. They worked up to this very courageous faith. And then God reveals his plan. Look at verse 3 of chapter 6. God says to Joshua, "This is what you're going to do. March around the city once with all the armed men. Do this for 6 days. Have 7 priests carry trumpets of ram's horns in front of the ark. On the 7th day, march around the city 7 times with the priests blowing the trumpets. When you hear them sound a long blast on the trumpets, have the whole army give a shout. Then the wall of the city will collapse and the army will go up, everyone straight in." Now that was probably not the plan that Joshua expected. Okay, it was probably far from the plan that he expected. I mean, remember, he had seen God do some really amazing things. And God says, "I've delivered this city into your hands." And so Joshua may be thinking back, you know, in Egypt with those miracles and the parting of the Red Sea, and he might be thinking something like that. And so maybe he's thinking God is just going to bring a big earthquake and just swallow the city up, you know, and that would be pretty cool. And so he might be thinking along those lines. And then God says, "No, this is what we're going to do. I want you to go get the marching band, and you're going to march around the city." And Joshua, you have to imagine, he might be thinking, "God, the marching band? Yeah, get the marching band and march around the city." And Joshua might be thinking, "Oh, okay, God, I know what you're up to. Okay, you have planted a special forces unit inside. And when the trumpets have that long blast, then they're going to spring to action, right?" And God's like, "Well, not really. We do have one person in there. Her name's Rahab, and she's a prostitute." So Joshua's like, "Okay, let me get this straight. We have a marching band and a prostitute, and we're going to walk around the walls, and then we're going to shout." And God says, "Yep. That's the plan." It's got to sound crazy. I mean, it sounds crazy to us. I would imagine it probably sounded crazy to Joshua. And he's been waiting for an answer. "All right, God, you said it's ours. Now, how are you going to do it?" And God says, "This is how we're going to do it." And what we need to understand about this is that God sets it up like this so he can get the glory. God does this kind of thing all the time. He sets up an impossible situation. That's what he's done with the Israelites. This is an impossible situation for them. But he sets up an impossible situation so that when we act in courageous faith and we do what God has asked, then God springs to action. And then God gets the glory, because there's no way that we could have done it, and there's no way that the Israelites could have done it. Now, there's something that we need to know. I want to give a little sidebar on courageous faith, because there's something we need to know about courage, right? Just because you do something that's scary, that doesn't necessarily mean that you had courage, okay? It might just mean that you were really stupid, okay? Let me give you an example. The year after I graduated from high school, me and one of my friends decided, you know what? It would be a great idea to climb the water tower in Lyons. That would be really cool. And so we decided that's what we're going to do. So we climbed up the water tower. All right? Now, I'm going to tell you, if you've ever done that before, I wouldn't suggest it. It is really scary. I mean, the ladder is really narrow, okay? And when you get up to a certain height, that ladder kicks back like that to go around the bubble. And so we climbed that thing all the way to the top, and we had spray cans with us. I'm telling some bad things about myself. But we had some spray cans with us, and so what we did was we spray painted our names on the water tower. And then we put 85 on there. Now, it was stupid. It was stupid to even climb up there. It was really stupid to paint Archie on the water tower, because there's not any other Archies around. And about a year later, I never really got in trouble for that until about a year later. And we were getting ready to take a family vacation. We were in our RV, and Dad pulled up behind the bank in Lyons, and he's facing the water tower. My mom gets out, and she goes into the bank to get some money for the trip, and my dad's looking around, and all of a sudden he gets this really weird look on his face, and he looks over at me, and he goes, "Archie!" And I was like, "Huh?" He goes, "What is that?" And I was like, "What?" He goes, "Up there on that water tower. What is that?" And I look up there, and I'm like, "How did that get up there?" Listen, just because we do something that's scary doesn't necessarily mean that it was courageous. It might just be stupid. So let's get a definition for courage here. Courage is not the absence of fear, okay, but it's moving forward in spite of fear, okay? This is to do something good, or to do something that the Lord has called us to do. Now, Joshua, he might have wondered what side he was on. Is this a crazy thing that we're doing, or what is it? But he was obedient, and he led the Israelites, and he carried out God's battle plan of marching around the walls and blowing these trumpets. And I can't imagine the fear that was within him. And what we're beginning to see with the Israelites is that there's this shift. There's this shift where they're moving from being people who complain to people who have some courage, people who have some faith and trust in God, and they begin to be obedient to him, to his word. See, in their mind, this might have sounded crazy. It might have sounded like it would have never worked, but they obeyed. And look what happened on the seventh day after the seventh trip. In Joshua 6:20, it tells us this. It says, "When the trumpets sounded, the army shouted. And at the sound of the trumpet, when the men gave a loud shout, the wall collapsed. So everyone charged straight in, and they took the city." See, in spite of their fear, they obeyed, and they did exactly what God said to do. And in response to their courageous obedience, God did exactly what he said he would do. It did take a tremendous amount of courage. And for us today, it's going to take courage for us to do what God has called us to do. The problem, though, is that we seldom exercise courageous faith. See, the way we deal with fear, the number one way that we deal with fear is we just avoid the situation. We use the avoidance tactic. You know, if you're in a dire financial situation and you get a letter from that creditor, you don't even open it up. You just push it to the side, you file it away, or maybe you throw it away. Or if you get the phone call from that creditor, you just let it ring, okay? Let the answer machine pick it up. If the call goes out for help, we just have a tendency to look around, hoping somebody else will answer that call. We just kind of avoid the situation. You know, when our child is in need of discipline and because they're acting up, you know what we do a lot of times? We just turn the TV up a little bit louder and pretend like we don't hear it. See, there are times that we have a tendency to avoid situations that where we need to have some courage. And the answer for us is not to run and hide away from situations that are unpleasant or scary. The answer is to have courage and to move forward in spite of our fear. And that's what we see with the Israelites. Remember, 40 years ago, they had checked out this land. And when they checked it out, they compared everything to themselves. And they said, listen, compared to what we see, we look like grasshoppers. But now, they've changed. They've changed because they shifted their focus. They went from focusing on their smallness and how small they are to focusing on God's bigness, how big He is. See, instead of focusing and comparing everything on themselves, now they're comparing everything to God. And everything compared to God seems pretty small. This is a life-changing attitude. And it's an attitude that we need to adopt. See, when it comes to the walls in our life, it's not about how big those walls are. It's not about how big we think we are. It's about how big God is. And so the question is not, how big is your wall? The question is, how big is your God? How big is He? What I want you to know today is that God is bigger. He's bigger than anything you're going to face today. He's bigger than anything you're going to face tomorrow and all the other tomorrows. He is bigger than your doubt. He is bigger than your fear. He is bigger than your regret, bigger than your shame, bigger than your embarrassment, and bigger than your guilt. God is bigger than your struggle and your sin. And He is way bigger than any wall that you are ever going to face in your life. Isaiah 40 gives us this, I think, amazing view of how big God is. In verse 12, it says this: Who has measured the waters in the hollow of His hand? Or with the breath of His hand has marked off the heavens? Who has held the dust of the earth in a basket or weighed the mountains on the scales and the hills in a balance? Church, God is huge. He's huge. He's way beyond what we can comprehend. You know, if I hold my hand like this and in the hollow of my hand, I can hold a little over a tablespoon of water in the hollow of my hand. And here in Isaiah, it says God can hold all the waters. See, that's the ocean. So, you know, we know that some parts of the ocean is some 6 miles deep. He can hold all the oceans, all the rivers, all the lakes, right there in the hollow of His hand. He's huge. If I measure the breadth of the breadth of my hand here, from the tip of my thumb to the tip of my pinky is about 9.5 inches. And the Bible says that God measures the heavens just like that. If you think about it, the closest star to us, not counting the sun, is some 4.5 light years away. That's like 26 trillion miles away from us. And God says, oh, you want to know how far that is? Whoop, yep, that's it. He is beyond what we can comprehend. He's huge. And so what would happen today if we took our eyes off of our smallness and we put our eyes on his bigness? We put our eyes on God, a God who can hold all the oceans in the hollow of his hand. I think if we would do that, the change would be unreal. But for that to happen, we've got to shift our focus. And we have to put our focus onto him. And for some of us, that's going to be really hard. Because, see, we've built up this fear because we have believed lies. We believe the lies that people have said about us. We believe lies that Satan has said to us. We believe lies that we have told ourselves. And maybe you've heard these before, lies that say it's too late for you. You've messed things up too much. No one will ever love you. You're just going to fail again. You're always going to be alone. God doesn't love you anymore. God's done with you. He's not going to give you any more chances. Or maybe you've heard, oh, there's plenty of time. Don't worry about doing that today. Or maybe you've even heard or said, I don't need any help. No, these are lies. And they're lies that rob us from strength and courage. And I believe the biggest way that we can get our eyes off of those lies and off of ourselves and off of our walls and onto God is that we need to pray. We need to pray. You know, I don't know if you realize this, but every Wednesday night at 6 p.m., there are people who gather here in the church, and we have a prayer meeting. And I'm going to tell you, that prayer meeting is anemic, considered our size. We need people to pray. We need people to take focus off of all this stuff and put it on God and realize his bigness. As a church, it's important. And we need to be praying together. It's important because as we pray, we're reminded about how big God is. And as we remember how big he is, we begin to be courageous. And we need courage. I've heard it said once that courage is fear that it's said its prayers. So we need to pray. I like that saying. Because when we pray, we do find courage in God. And as courage begins to take over, then we begin to take these promises from God and make them our own promises that say, I will never leave you. I'll always be with you. I'm not going to abandon you. Hang with me because the victory has already been won. These are powerful promises that God gives to us, and we need to claim them, and we claim them in prayer. So be strong and courageous. Why? Because God is with us. He is with us, and he is writing your story. You know, these are things that Jesus told us all the time. Jesus says, I'm sending you a comforter. He is going to be with you, the Holy Spirit. He will be with you. He's not going to leave you. And so let's pray. Let's claim the promises of God. Let's be courageous. But we're going to offer a time for you to come and for you to pray. And it's going to take courage for some of you to step out of the aisle. Some of you need to come up and pray. But you don't because of fear. And it's going to take courage for you to step out into the aisle and to walk forward to this altar and to pray. And I invite you to come and do that. Because there's a wall that needs to be torn down in your life. And it's only going to happen through prayer. You know, I said earlier that some of us need some courage to make Jesus Christ Lord and Savior. And now's the time to draw on that courage. To come forward, to step down and just come up here and confess Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of your life. It's important, but it's going to take some courage for you to do that. Maybe for you today, you need to become a part of this family that we have here at LFCC, and you need to get plugged in and you need to get involved, but fear or whatever has kept you away from doing that. I'm asking you to draw on some courage and to come forward and be a part of this big messed up family. Listen, we know right up front, we are a messed up family, but we love Jesus and we love each other and we're doing our best. If you want to be a part of a family like that, we want you to be a part of our family. but you need to come. Let's stand and sing. If you have business to do with God, we invite you to come and do that.